Hello, welcome to the Facebook show. I mean, hello, welcome to the big show. He's the only one that hasn't bought the Facebook story.
Me.
someone has. We're going to talk about it. We can't not talk about it. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, an absolutely fabulous bunch. Sorry about the absence last week, but my boy's appendix burst on Saturday morning. So it kind of took second sake, really, to worry about it. He was back in home on the Thursday, and there was no way I was coming down to show on his first day back. So he's getting well. Thank you for all the messages from everyone as well. It was really, really cool. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, a fab bunch, an absolutely splendid set of people. Starting us off, top left, it's Gazmas.
Hello.
Where have you been, mate?
Well, here, there and everywhere. Work. There's a lot of it at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a pain, so, yeah. Well, it's not a pain. It pays the bills, doesn't it? And allows me to take the missus on our 30th wedding anniversary back to the hotel where we had our honeymoon. Oh. Brownie points.
Oh,
brownie nice. Points.
Good man.
Nice.
What have you been, anything news to tell us, or is it just the same shit, different day?
Yeah, same shit, different day, really. Starting to use an air rifle now. Oh, I have, yeah, landowner, starting shooting rabbits and all that.
Good lad, are you eating them?
Well, the foxes are.
You know you're supposed to go and pick them up after you've shot them, right?
Yeah, I do. I do want to throw them to the foxes or the kites, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I've got a friend actually who's had a couple. Because he says, yeah, I love your rabbits. And
no, pigeons in our garden and eaten those.
I tell you what, you want to start looking into air rifles if you want tech. God, it's a whole world of tech out there.
Well, I've got an air rifle.
Incredible. All sorts of scopes and the guns that are out. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I never knew it existed.
No. There's. I've got an air rifle, and it's great, mate. You do the pigeons in the garden, and then eat them.
Yeah. But the tech behind it. I mean, I don't know if you've done much searching online. There's a ton of stuff out there.
You can't buy half of it though.
They all film it as well.
Yeah.
They set up cameras to the scopes and all.
Have you got the night vision camera world. One? So there's one that, where you just hold the gun. Yep. And the camera's on the back of the scope, and there's a night vision camera thing in it, and there's a screen next to you.
Just crazy.
Excellent, mate. Good to have you back. Next to him, it's Ian.
Hello, Mr. Rankin.
You've got a good connection there, pal. It's not bad at all.
I'm not bad, is it? I'm travelling, so I'm down in Newport Pagnell. I'm just a few hundred yards away from the Aston Martin factory, which is quite nice. Wanted to pass the day, and there's this a really random Lagonda saloon I saw that they made about 200 off the odd sheikh and maybe owner of BTN to buy, sort of thing, you know, the millionaires of this world. And it's lovely looking thing, but why gold? Why gold? But there we are. And so, but yeah, I'm working around here with doing a bit more training again. That's how what I usually end up doing when I'm traveling around.
Cool. Well, at least you're in a hotel room and you're safe and not touring around Newport Pagnell and maybe getting accosted by the locals. Because they're not a mixed breed there, you know. Not the same kind of thing as Lincoln, really, I suppose.
I know, that's different here. The locals around here are more old.
Yeah.
Tell me at the site, they're just old, basically.
Can someone put that alternate live link into Slack for Crikey Trousers? Because he's not watching. He hasn't worked it out. Has anyone got the alternative live link? Anyone in the chat room or the Slack group could tell him. That's btn-live.uk or something like that. Next to him, it's William Green.
Hello, chap.
How the devil are you?
I'm very well.
Now,
how's my microphone?
It sounds lovely. It's all right. Could do with being a little bit closer. But are you, I thought you were in Switzerland now working.
Well, I had to postpone it a week. But I fly out on Sunday, and I'll be there for 2 weeks, and then I'll fly back to see my kids, and then I'll fly back out there
awesome.
Again. So the contract is 3 to 6 months, something like that. So I'm looking forward to, what do they wear? Is it Yoderhausen or something like that? Or whatever?
Eh?
Well, those sort of, tight leather trousers.
Lederhosen.
Lederhosen.
Oh, Lederhosen.
Lederhosen, yeah. Yeah. I thought I'd sort of
everything. Funny out.
Mate, they would suit you down to the ground.
Do you think so?
No, but I just love, I'd wait to see it.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been to Switzerland in my life, and but the people I've spoken to seem very nice, and I'm looking forward to that.
Good. Excellent, mate. Next name is Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, pal. A few little issues with your sound at the start, but we're all right now. If it goes again, it's me, not you, pal.
Yes, good. And before you ask, my sister as well.
I don't do that anymore.
You no, bring Ian up, started that tonight. Ian started that tonight.
You always bring up sisters before me, mate. Not me. I'm not having that. What have you been up to, right? Because you ducked out last... Well, we didn't have one last week, did we, so?
Well, we ducked out. You asked me to take over, and I'd been sick for a few days.
Oh, that's
so
right, yeah.
It's always that thing, because Easter holidays, and I work at the university, and we get a lot of good hunk of time off at Easter, and I work so hard all of the time. As soon as I stop, I get ill. So no holiday is ever a holiday, if you know what I mean. But I get lots of sympathy and play on the Xbox and get brought like brandy and whiskey. So it's been a nice break, but I'm back now. I need to talk to you though, because I told you about my new job, didn't I? Managing the TV studio.
I saw it on LinkedIn, yeah.
Yeah, so I need to talk to you about managing a whole TV studio and galleries and editing suites and all this sort of thing. I ain't got a clue.
What makes you think I have?
You do better. Well, see the fantastic organisation of this evening, you're the best man to do it.
Holy shit. was this my interview?
Yeah. You're hired.
Well, no, I'm only hired on the basis that he actually worked in the end.
Hot bosses, yes.
Everyone else is just gone. And last but by no means least, our smoker from Washington. The man with a tomahawk steak that's going to kill someone. Chris Ashley, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me back.
We haven't seen you for a few weeks. How you been?
It's been a couple of weeks. I've been pretty good. Been dealing with some soreness, some muscle soreness. Been working out like crazy.
Good man.
I want to be back to big and sexy, not just big.
Good man.
Show's going good. So, yeah, I'm good.
As long as it doesn't take any octaves off your voice, mate, that's what you got to be careful of.
Only when I get excited, and then it goes the opposite direction.
Well, that was Pavarotti's excuse, wasn't it? He wouldn't get the resonance for his voice if he lost weight.
Yeah, there you go.
And he died at 65, just to be sure. The Week in Tech. Do you want to start with Facebook? Has someone brought Facebook or not brought Facebook? I'm bored with it too, but we haven't done a show since it's kicked off, and then Zuckerberg sat in front of the Senate committee yesterday, didn't he, and completely foxed them all.
Well, he sat in front of like grands and granddads, didn't he?
Well, there was one senator though. Did you see the one quote? There was one guy who said to him, "Mr. Zuckerberg, can you please tell me the hotel that you stayed in last night?" And Zuckerberg went, "No," and he said, "Well, isn't that what you're asking your users to do?" That was a burn.
To be fair,
that was a burn.
Didn't one guy go, "If I send an email through WhatsApp," and I was like, "Oh, for God's sake!" If I send an email through WhatsApp, I was like, "Oh, you have no clue."
I think they hadn't grasped that Facebook owned WhatsApp, had they?
No. Well, the thing is, and I've heard this before, is it was a lot of kind of high-ranking, high-flying people in Congress who wanted to basically say, "We're here to protect the people against this horrible, evil thing that you've all signed up to that you didn't realise that you've given your data away to. So we're going to look good by giving this child," which he basically is. It would have been easier for instead of 2 days of interrogation, 30, they should have just put him over their knee and just spanked him. It would have been easier. So much easier.
I don't know what to say, sir.
You know Zuckerberg's 30. Right there. You know he's 33, right?
That'd have made the papers.
Might be more interesting, to be fair.
I tell my daughter off, and you get that. You tell her off, and you go, "I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed." And she's like, "Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about that now." And that's all they should have done to him.
I've got the wealth of probably most of the countries east of Italy, and I'm going to be intimidated by an old bloke telling me he's disappointed in me. I don't think so.
He looked really scared.
Well, there is implications for him, isn't there? There are jail sentences and things available potentially if he doesn't answer properly, and there's a suggestion of impropriety and that kind of stuff. But he's 33 years old. He's not a kid. You should have got Stormy Daniels in, boys. You should have got Stormy Daniels into the Senate hearing to put Zuckerberg over an E and spank him.
Yeah. but he's never known anything else. You know, he became rich very young. I think he's been very sheltered. He's had a lot of yes men telling him
he needed a paper round. That would have been character building.
Yeah, but he would have been he'd have been media trained up until the point of the Congress hearing and all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah,
you know, God, he had to be touched massively. No two ways about it. I mean, there was an interesting article on The Guardian actually about fact checking all of the various statements he's made, and that's quite interesting to have a little look through of some stuff that just doesn't stand up. Things like the shadow profiles, he was denying, saying not familiar with the term. You know, that's the idea of the thing that because you're members of other things, they can then link you back in. And then there are your people you know.
That is interesting because the...
He says Facebook has plenty of competition, really. He owns most of the other bits. WhatsApp, Instagram and all that, they're all his.
Well, he's
just don't look at that article's particularly interesting. You know, everyone consents to giving Facebook their data.
Well, the thing is, it's a service that people find very useful, isn't it?
It is. I use it. I like it.
I like it. I like it from the point of like staying in touch with family and stuff. You know, my parents are on it. That sounds like a bit of a, oh my God, but I see what my dad's up to and all that sort of thing. I saw my dad last night on Skype. He's like, oh, I went out today. I said, yeah, I saw the pictures were very nice and all that sort of thing. And I don't give stuff away, but people don't understand this. Even though this case is going on this week, everyone's been going through, I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook, going, type in this and then type the middle button on your predictive text thing to give away the sort of person you are. And no one learns because everyone's still just giving away who they are. And even though it's kind of like, you know, highlight news, people just still give it all away. You know, which spice girl am I?
I keep in touch with all sorts of friends from different bits and pieces, right back to school friends via Facebook. I don't do a lot, but it's nice to see what they do. They see what I do. We like each other's things. Have a chat every now and again. It's great. There's a link I've just chucked in that's on the Facebook site, which will let you tell if your info was actually shared with Cambridge Analytica. Oh,
here we go.
According to that, mine wasn't, which is interesting. To be fair, this is your digital life I didn't use. So if you did use that, that's where they sucked your...
Have you got the link to that? Then we can all check.
Yeah, it's whacked straight in the Facebook. It's there whacked into the IRC chat. I'll whack it in the Slack room as well, if you like.
I'm safe.
Cool.
I know. Overall, you know,
this
is just bringing to light stuff that a lot of us tech folks already knew. You hear people say it all the time. If there's no charge, then you're the product, right? So if anything, the only thing I really want to see come out of it is that they do get forced into being a bit more transparent about what they're doing with our data, and they have to be more aggressive on protecting our data. Because I'm not a Facebook hater. I never have been. You know, I've told stories how I was able to get in contact with my niece, who I hadn't seen in 15 years, you know, and she found me on Facebook. And we reconnected. That's and cool. We've been connected ever since. So I just for that alone, you know, it's just, you know, I just don't see myself hating it. But at the same time, I don't post my entire life on Facebook either. So but you know, when you watch some of the Senate questions that were coming out, I mean, it's clear that most of these people were posturing. They had no idea what they were talking about. They had no idea what exactly the problem was, and they pretty much have no intention of doing anything about it. Just a few people asked relevant questions, You know, some of them are asking if they were willing to change their business practices. Other folks were asking about probably one of the most important things is, will you switch to an opt-in, opt-out type of format, which obviously Facebook doesn't want to do. So, you know, but you didn't hear a lot of folks asking about that. And that's probably the most important thing that would we would like to see change, but it would cost them billions of dollars. So kind of overall, I just see these Senate hearings as a big nothing.
You know, what exactly what are these analytical companies going to get out of Facebook? I mean, if they look at my stuff, they're just going to send me adverts for walking gear and rugby kit. That's, you know, that's it.
For you, right? But other folks, you know, they post everything they do.
I get that. And it's those people that really haven't thought about it or, you know, not got involved that just let everything go through that, you know, then there should be perhaps a little bit more protection for. But
yeah, and then look how they were, you know, it just came out too that Facebook was trying to convince doctors to kind of, you know, share some of the information that they had so that they could better do a, like they described it as a home care service or a follow up service where we could, you know, we have information about these particular users, and then you have medical information about them, and then, you know, between that we could, you know, send ads that better served the ailments that they had, and, you know, stuff like that. And just, and that's kind of, it's kind of sickening, you know, that they would, it just seems to be no limit as to what type of ads they want to serve you. So, but there are folks that post everything, you know, look, I go down my timeline, you know, got a lot of people going through personal stuff. They're posting for help and posting for prayers and, you know, and that tells a lot. And you correlate that data to some type of drug company. That's a huge amount of business right there. So, you know, it just depends clearly on, you know, who the person is. And, you know, folks like us that know better don't post everything on there, but there are too many people that do.
So there's a great question here down from Damo in the chat room. He says, hi, everyone. Do you think they'll make a sequel to The Social Network, which will deal with the Cambridge Analytica story as well as and the elections? And I can't think that there's no way that Hollywood's passing this up. I mean,
no, I don't think that's what's going to happen. What's going to happen is going to be a documentary of the resurgence of MySpace.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
The only thing that I wanted to sort of add to that conversation was the five types of personality. And from all these sort of data gatherers...
Just lean back a bit, Will. You're blowing us out, mate. Lean back a bit.
Oh, sorry. The five types of personality traits is part of their sort of personality data mining, which I knew nothing about until this morning. And, yeah. So, and then based on these five types... they can figure out the type of person you are and then sort of model the adverts on Facebook for the type of person you are. Which, I mean, it's all really spooky, isn't it?
If I was Mark Zuckerberg, the one thing I'd be super pissed about is the fact that all of this came to light because of that Cambridge Analytica company. And there are a lot of people out there who say that they're full of bunk and they can't do what they claiming they were doing with the data. They have the data and they know stuff about people, but they weren't able to manipulate people into voting, you know, for a particular candidate at all. So if that's the case, and they, you know, because they apparently they had done a bake off between the RNC, Republican National Convention, and Cambridge Analytica, and the RNC was able to, you know, show better results from what I understand. So they didn't, I don't think ultimately they ended up using Cambridge Analytica that much. And so, but that, you know, they're out there taking credit for the victory so they can just get more money and more investors. You know, that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, I just think that the simple stuff here, like question from Senator Roger Wicker, do you continue tracking people after they've logged out? No,
yes.
Your computer does. The cookies that you store, we just look at your cookies, where you've been. So yes, we track you, but it's not Doesn't matter whether it's active or not, it's still there. The trail, the crumbs are there. So what's the point of saying where I got them?
They follow the trail, they follow the cookies back.
Yeah.
And they also have the links if they know you're in someone, even though you've not been to Facebook, they know your friends that are on Facebook. And then when you join Facebook, they link the dots up again. It's not particularly clever or particularly complicated thing to do.
You look at this,
and this is how things work.
There's two people in the chat room who said that people have been found because of Facebook. They found long lost relatives and so on. And you guys have said the same thing. And without that ability to search and make connection, you wouldn't get back to that ability. It's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy almost. So it seems a bit silly to then blame or complain about Facebook doing that when actually one of the positive elements of it. And for most people, Facebook is 99% positive. It is for me. I've got nothing negative to say about Facebook. They've never done any problems. They've never taken me data. I've checked the link that Ian's done, and I've not been used for a Cambridge Analytica because I didn't sign up to My Digital Life. And I don't see a major issue with the fact that they know where I went. I'm careful about what I post. I don't post stuff on there that can be used against me, or you know where I'm going to be and that kind of stuff, so that people know my house is empty and things like that. So,
it's the thing is that though you're an intelligent user of it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man.
Well, it's intelligent, but you're an intelligent user of it. We all are, as a group here. We're all reasonably intelligent users of the internet. You get every one of the morons that post on Facebook that, as Chris was saying, you post about all of their personal life, asking for prayers, asking for friends to help them because they're going through bad patches, you know, and that's public to the world to see.
Yeah.
You can't, and of course, the morons that, because they have no idea about when it goes on, they post on what time stairs goes open. And so if that's the mentality of people who use Facebook.
So was the hit?
The thing is, I think that my point is, mate, there's some level of we have to protect the idiot. We have to protect the idiots or it's Darwin in action again.
So was the hearing a sham? Was it an ineffective sham?
Has to be seen to be done.
I don't think it was a sham for everyone. I think, you know, you have the few that had generally good intentions, but it's just no way any of these senators necessary or, you know, have the backbone to take on this company. They're just not going to do it.
Yeah. Is he good at paying taxes as well, as opposed to other pet corporations?
Yeah, and many of them took the opportunity to push their own stupid agenda. Like, oh, well, like Ted Cruz, he was asking questions about Facebook blocking conservative content, and then asking them, what was the political, do you know the political affiliation of the 20,000 employees that you use to determine which content should be blocked? Are you effing kidding me? He's supposed to know first off, no company should be asking anybody their political affiliation, in order to get a job. But he, the CEO of the company, is supposed to know what their political affiliation is. It's just, Ted Cruz is such an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the questions he chose to ask with his 4 minutes.
There was Paul Kent retweeted someone last night, and the guy said, I swear to God, one of the senators is just about to ask Zuckerberg to install a printer for him.
That's what it really seemed like.
Well, that's telling.
I see these numbers.
There we go. We did our due diligence there. We got Facebook out of the way. We filled in a little bit on it. You're not getting any more. We're moving on. Who's got the next story then?
I've just thrown one in that popped up while looking at that one. I thought it was a little bit kind of semi-related and it's worth a chat.
Okay, go on then.
Reddit.
Open racism and slurs are fine to post on Reddit, says the CEO.
Reddit says it's free. As far as Reddit's concerned, free speech, say what you like. Where you go. More or less. This means on Reddit there will be people with beliefs different from your own, sometimes extremely so. When users' actions conflict with our content and policies, we take action. But they've said they won't ban hate speech of any kind, and that's their view. Is this good? Is this bad? I'm not sure. Again, I'm all for free speech.
I personally don't have a problem with it. I mean, the reality is, if it's not there, it's in the back of the house. It's in the down the street. It's you know, it, the only, you know, my only requirement would be just be consistent. So if you're not going to block one, don't block the other. And if you're doing that and letting people say and do what they want to do, you know, that I don't have a problem with it. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that there aren't people that,
I agree with you, but I just thought it was an interesting thing given the rest of stuff is going on today, more privacy issues and more free speech issues almost.
I think the thing is as well that a lot of the time when someone does put something that's really inappropriate into a chat scenario, the situation polices itself in that people will turn on that person and make them feel pathetic and wrong, which they are. But I'm just wondering that in given the current status of fascism and the far right movement across a lot of countries in Europe and the far right in the USA, you know, the head of anti-Semitism raising its ugly head is potentially there, and I'm not sure that saying it's okay because it's only speech is necessarily adequate.
Well, I see the first part of what you were saying is also why I'm okay with it, because it is out there, you know, and it is public. And so let these folks, you know, put their own information out and put their true views out. You know, there's nothing worse than standing next to somebody who actually hates you, but pretends like they like you, you know?
I wasn't going to say anything, Chris, but.
You know, and a lot of people always talk about free speech, but you know, free speech has nothing to do with a private company, you know, and the free speech is the government stopping you from saying what you want to say. And then you also have people that cry about free speech when a company pulls something you said off of their, and then they're like, they're within their right to do it. There's no freedom of consequences. So, you know, let these people.
Yeah, see, we've got a Freedom of Consequences Act that's about to go through here in the UK and Europe, which is going to, which will effectively make people be allowed to be forgotten for the horrific things that they have said.
Mm.
I'm not so sure how that fits in with that either.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, how do you enforce that, though? Say something horrible.
General data protection. Well, you've got to bear in mind that free speech in the UK is not free in the same way as you see it. So if you say someone is something that they are not and you defame their character as a result, then you can be sued. It's not you can't hide behind freedom of speech. And I think to a certain degree, there is some similarities in the US.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, liable.
Yeah, there is a liable in the US, but it's a lot less strict than it is here in the UK. But also, this ability to there's conformity. You can't use hate speech in the UK. You can't protest against anyone. What's the word I'm looking for? You can't disseminate against anyone through sex, race, or religion. That's disallowed. So there is a protection there for people for that. And I do like that fact, I think, over this idea of freedom of speech means you can say whatever the hell you like and not be accountable for it. Because you do have to be accountable for it.
Yeah. Again, with the government, yes, but with a private company, have at it, you know. And honestly, if that type of rhetoric starts to take over on Reddit and people will stop using Reddit. They'll use the next thing. So, this is the perfect opportunity to see.
I think it's hard because as much as I understand the point you're making, there is a certain part of me says that you need to make a stand. You need to stop that stuff. You know, you need to, yes, it goes into the background, but the fewer outlets it has, the better off you are, the fewer people it converts, etc.
There's always going to be pushed to somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's that outlet, whether the outlet is billions or whether the outlet is 10.
Mm.
And if the outlet is 10, then...
Is it better that it's in a forum where people can say and object to a place where people, where those people with the same sort of beliefs kind of get away with it? If you see what I mean.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'd rather these folks be more open so we can know who they are.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And then you can find out who they are, and the local police can go and enforce one. That'd be cool.
Years ago in the UK,
one of the One of the problems is this isn't localized, though, is it?
No. And it's anonymized.
And that well. And that's that becomes a problem. You know, if you're talking about outlaws here, but Reddit's worldwide, so you can have people all over the world having a go at other people in other parts of the world with different laws. And who takes precedence then? It's a difficult one.
Yeah, I mean, go to your rugby referee. If someone called someone who was gay or for the colour of their skin or and said something on the pitch, you discipline them and send them off.
Yeah.
So you know, there is a zero tolerance at some point.
Yeah, but my point is there, Ewan, it's localised, isn't it?
It is.
It's only the people that are on that pitch and around. It's when somebody then films it in one country and then says, you know, this is what happens here, and it goes elsewhere. And that's the problem. It's difficult to, I'm not going to say manage it, that's the wrong word, but you know, it's difficult to police it, I suppose.
Yeah, but the thing is too, to remember is that just because you're on Reddit and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're completely anonymous and you can, you know, you can get away with everything you say. Because remember, it wasn't even that long ago that the CNN host had tracked down one of the Reddit users that was posting all kinds of stuff. And that cat came out and started apologizing. And everybody went after CNN and said, oh, this is, you know, you shouldn't have done that. But, you know, they tracked him. They found him. Then they tracked him down. Yeah. And they got his information. And they're like, yeah, we'll just hold on to the rest of it. But, you know, it's, you know, so not everybody is so adept at hiding.
So what you're saying is they took an ethical stance that they deemed to be correct and took that avenue. So they became the police.
Yeah, on their own. So, and I'm not saying everybody has the ability to do that, but what I'm saying is that it seems like a lot of times, you know, people will get what's coming to them in the end. And, you know, you go out and start saying all this nonsense, you know, a lot of times it does come back to bite the person in the behind. So, yeah. And I still wonder sometimes if these people really believe some of the nonsense that they actually type. I know that a lot of them do, but I was just wondering, always wondering what percentage.
I mean,
I don't really know what Reddit is. What is Reddit?
It's a posting board, effectively.
Yeah, it's just a...
It's like a BBS gone modern. It's a great resource for many different things. If you have a topic you're interested in, there's a good chance there's a Reddit thread about the topic you're interested in.
There's lots of
IT, stuff as well. Many, many different flavors of IT things, many different sports groups. All those kind of things are all there for you to read and enjoy. Or get offended by, depending on what you look at. Cat videos, all there.
Yeah.
It sounds like really hard work to me.
It's a forum.
It's better than Twitter. It's not the wall. It's not a wall of noise that Twitter is. It's a more useful sort of thing to look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's used by millions of people, and you know, a lot of people use it just as a chat forum. A lot of people use it, you know, just for looking for information. So. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think if it gets out of hand and I don't mind a company that does, you know, again, my thing is consistency. So like Twitter is so inconsistent with who they ban.
Yeah.
And it always has to, you know, it seems like the most egregious ones always have to bubble up to become world news before they say, okay, we're going to ban this user or delete this account or whatever. And, you know, it's probably easier to just say, you can say whatever you want. It's open. You know, Facebook's pretty bad at it as well. You know, blocking pages, you know, based off algorithms and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a single answer for this type of thing, but I agree. You know, I don't disagree with you so much that it's nice. It is nice when a company says, you know what, we're not having any of that type of speech on our content. Go do it somewhere else.
There's an interesting
getting on years and stuff. I get so confused. not generally. I can walk around the house and stuff like that and buy milk and stuff. But when it comes to IT and communications, somebody will send me a message and I forget, was it via Twitter, which I'm a big user of? I don't use Facebook, or was it via a text? Was it via all of the multiple social posting sort of methods? And it does seem to get a little bit silly after a while, and you think, well, okay, I maybe stick to two, and my two are email and Twitter.
Well, good for you, mate. The thing that I would say is, though, is that if this becomes a safe haven for saying what you like, then the scum will flock to it potentially, and it'll kill Reddit anyway as an option.
Yep, for sure.
And you look at Twitter. I was having a conversation with Jordan in the Slack room with Patrick yesterday, and there's a certain group. I'm not even going to say who they are because of the fact that they are like this. There is a certain group on Twitter that if you put something up which is anti them, it is like a swarm of Nazi bumblebees that come and just batter you constantly.
All over it.
And they are all over it. They are nasty with it, as well as they start name calling from the beginning. And they are the absolute negative of humanity group behavior. And I have blocked 50 or more people from that group alone on Twitter, just because you cannot say anything that's negative that they don't just swarm around it. And it's wrong, but equally it's society, isn't it? They're anonymized. They don't care. So there you go. Good story, mate. Good story. Two good stories. We've got no time left. Who's next? Someone post a story, for Christ's sake. Paul Ums is going to be in with Google appears to be killing off Pixel and Pixel XL.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
Well, two, three weeks. That's what kind of caught my eye. I was like, what? Because... I was like, because I bought when the iPhone 10 came out, I thought, you know, I don't fancy that at all. But I was in for a new phone, and I wasn't ready to jump to the Android thing just yet. So I stumped up and bought outright my iPhone 7 Plus, which I love. It's great and all that sort of thing. But everyone raves about the Google Pixels and all that. This is not the new Pixel 2 and 2 XL. This is the original kind of flagship phone they announced 2 years ago. But now they're saying, do you know what, we're not gonna sell them anymore. And you're like, oh, okay, we're not gonna sell them anymore, that's fine. But not only they're not gonna sell them anymore, they're not gonna support them anymore either.
What?
Yeah, well, I have one. That's my I got fed up a last update on my iPhone 6 and thought, I'll go back to Android again. So I picked up a Pixel because I wanted the most stock clean Android experience you can get.
Okay, so I'll give you your timelines then, shall I?
Yeah, I was about to look at that article because that looks like I'll be buying a Samsung soon. I'll be getting a Samsung when it's...
Yep, so your guaranteed upgrades are only going to come through to October this year. And your security updates and your customer service is going to end in October 2019.
Well, that's not too bad. It'll be useless by then anyway.
Well, no, but it's not a useless phone if you think about it. In terms of kind of evolution of... phone technology, it's not a useless phone. It wouldn't be a useless phone in 3 years.
Oh, no. And to be fair, I'll be able to happily keep it running because I'll just go on XDA developers and there'll be a group of people developing a replacement and upgraded ROMs, and as long as I want to carry on running it.
But exactly. There's
some ancient Android devices still being kept alive by people on the XDA developer forum, so you'll be all right.
Yeah, but
I suppose
someone like me who's thinking, oh, the Pixel 2 looks really... I'm now thinking, do you know what? I don't fancy that anymore either.
No. It's interesting as well, actually, because I noticed that Google killed off Lytro because they bought Lytro. Do you remember the people who did that focus frigging thing? And I, as soon as they killed it off, I was like, oh, next Pixel's going to have that in it. So I don't think there's going to be no phones coming. I think there's going to be phones coming. I think the Lytro technology might be in those phones. But
and if you guys trust Google with anything, you are crazy.
No. Well, Chris is alluding to what I was going to say. Is Google are notorious for not following things through.
I trust Zuckerberg nothing more than I trust Google.
Glasses,
phone. They make great software and all that sort of thing. I've got a lot of Google stuff on my iPhone, but I said to one of my boys at work, when I was researching the story at lunchtime today, I said to him, "Oh, just been researching stuff for the show tonight. You know your Pixel's redundant in October this year." What? I bought that thing outright. I was looking for a good 3 years on it. And he will just get his 3 years on it. But
well, it will still work, though, won't it?
It'll still work, but if it
goes horribly wrong, you're screwed. Yeah,
exactly. But you take something like Apple, who's running iOS 11 back to the 5S right now, you know, which is a 5-year-old phone. You know, we all have this. We're the IT guys for our family, aren't we?
Apple's legacy support is good.
It is good. And I always say to my family, buy an iPhone because I can't be asked to support anything else, and I can back your phones up here and all that sort of stuff, and I know you're going to get the latest updates, and you can bugger off and leave me alone for 5 years. That sort of stuff is really good, and it makes the resale value more valuable as well and all that sort of thing. But the trouble that Google run themselves in, and I know the sales of the Pixel 1 and 2 weren't the most amazing things in the world, but I thought they were going to try and make a change. You know, they were going to try and sell a high-end, because the Nexus line was a cheap kind of developer's phone, all that sort of stuff. But this
plus they had Project Fi, so how is that going to work now, you know, because the Project Fi was on their own phones. So I actually liked Project Fi.
Well, it was a really great idea, but you kill off the phone, you know, because when you go into most people who go and buy phones aren't tech savvy, but they know that their mum's running a 4-year-old phone who's got the latest update on her iPhone. You try and sell them an Android phone that says it's only going to run for 2 years, maybe with a legacy of another 9 months support. That's not good, because it puts people who don't know at risk. The thing I thought about is that Google really puts himself at the mercy of Samsung, who really do push the Android brand. But I don't think people who buy Samsung phones know they're buying Android phones. They're buying Samsung phones. And if they're kind of putting people off the market, if Samsung one day just turned around and went, we're going to go for our own operating system, it looks like Android, it works like Android, people still buy Samsung phones. I thought the push of the Pixel would be that it would be, you know, this is us, you know, defining the market in the same way that Microsoft's trying to do with the Surface and all that sort of thing. So a reference design that we want everyone to follow. You know, there's loads of high-end, mid-range and low-end Android phones out there. Android will live on, but at the kind of cutting edge of it, you can't cut a phone off after 2 years with a bit of extra support should you need it after 3 years. I think that's a really bad thing. And the other thing that Apple's doing, I know we're not an Apple show at the moment, but
no.
Apple's kind of clever in a way, because they've now introduced a phone at every price point. You start with the SE, the 6S is still there, the 7 is still there, you got the 8, you got the 10. It's got something for everyone, but the Google market has just the high end, and the last high end that they released is now dead.
So the problem here, Paul, is we just don't understand what Google's strategy is for this, do we? Because
no, not at all.
3.9 million phones, it's not shabby. It's not as good as some of the other companies, but it's not shabby. They've brought out the Pixel 2, I assume, and it says that they're going to be updating with another phone after that. So it's not like they're getting out of the phone market, but their strategy is that, you know, that they just don't want to support it, and they want people either to move on.
Effectively, they've killed the next off the one,
brand. Or it's just a strategy they've got, and it's Google all over, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but effectively they've killed off the brand, because the technology's still there, the phone's still there, they're still going to be producing phones, it's just the name Pixel that's gone. And the support for the existing hardware.
And support for existing devices is more important.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but is that what you're saying, or are they doing the original, are they just not doing support for that particular Pixel line?
So the original Pixel line is the one they're killing.
Yeah. So there are other Pixels coming out beyond that.
It's only one generation old. It's Pixel 2. We don't know what's going to happen with
the
Pixel
2. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good, righty. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, so if the Pixel 1 only got a 2-year mainstay life.
Yeah, but you see, again, you're probably talking to the wrong audience. They've obviously gone through a process, and they've ascertained that that is the right strategy for that particular phone line.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people I don't know who bought the Pixel. This is the thing. I don't know if it's us geeks who bought it because we knew, and people are buying the low-end Android phones. But
that's the problem we've got. We don't know.
No, but you have that same problem with all Android phones, because you buy an Android phone that's cheap. You buy a Samsung A5 or whatever, it's on a lower version of Android already, and you jump into that within 6 months, you're already in that.
Yeah, I get that.
No,
yeah,
no
that,
support. Yeah. But do you think the flagship phone would last a little bit longer than 2 years? So anyone who's on Android, whether you're on a flagship Pixel phone or a Samsung A5 or something cheaper, you're all in the swamp. You're all in the quicksand. You're all sinking quite slowly at the moment.
Perhaps with 3.9 million sales, they don't mind doing that. Perhaps they want to get up to the 33 million that Samsung have sold. And they deem that 3.9, this is a throwaway item, which they're going to, you know, try and move on to the next best and greatest.
But if they sell 3.9 of the Pixel 1, I don't know how many they sold of the Pixel 2, but I wouldn't buy a Pixel, because if their stuff precedes them, then it's only going to be 2 years in the Pixel 2. Who's going to buy a Pixel 3?
For me, myself, I wouldn't go anywhere near an Android device. And I've trained my children into not going anywhere close to that as well, because if you buy, say, a Samsung phone, then there's all this rubbish put on top of it, and it makes the whole experience rather horrible. Whereas if you buy, for example, an Apple device, it is what it is. There's no other stuff, there's no other layers on top of it. So I don't know. I mean, I work very closely with Google, and I think, you know, if so, is the Pixel like 100% Google without any of the other sort of rubbish put on top of it?
Yes,
yes,
or not?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a completely stock latest version. My one's got the latest 8.1. Gets its updates fairly regularly. One pops up and improves things or makes things worse.
Google making it worse.
Yeah, it's only Google. They're direct air from updates from Google. They don't come from the...
I've got to say, Paul, I do tend to agree with what you're saying, but they've obviously got a strategy. That, you know, the one company in the world that's got more data than anybody else on the sales and what the customers are thinking.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
They've decided to do this. So there's obviously a strategy behind it. It'd be nice to know what that strategy is, but so everybody else would like to know what that is as well, especially their competitors. But
yeah. Well, I'm a person who buys phones outright. You know, I stumble.
Yeah, yeah, I am too.
Yeah, and it's a huge chunk of change to do that. And I think if I'd have, I said to a chap at work today who'd done the same thing, who'd stumped up the money, and he was like, what?
Yeah, I don't know about you, but actually my phone goes down the line as well. So I don't, I'll perhaps have it for 1 or 2 years, but then it's going to last another 2 or 3. So yeah, I'd be extremely disappointed because I'd know that I couldn't support that phone.
I've been doing a thing lately with the family. So I've got everyone into iPhone, mum, dad, everyone. And they've come up to contract renewals and, you know, the carrier's going, oh, yeah, you'll get a new contract, £45 a month. That sort of thing. I'm like, no, your phone's good enough, and it's going to be, you know, they're on 6 6s, all that sort of thing. Like, it's going to be supported for a few more years. Go for a contract SIM only plan. I did it with my mum, and she went down from like 43 quid a month to like 13 quid a month, you know. She's like, oh, this is brilliant, and I know she's going to get 3 or 4 more years use out of that. And I'm the IT guy in the family, so that fills me with a little bit of joy. But on, you know, there's nothing wrong with Android phones, and like Will says, he wouldn't go anywhere near one. I saw the Galaxy S9. I saw a mate at the weekend. He's got the S9. That is a beautiful phone. Even though it's got Samsung stuff over the top, it's not as heavy as it used to be. That is a gorgeous phone. I pulled my 7 Plus out in front of him as well, and it felt like ancient history. It is the Samsung S9 is a gorgeous phone. It's absolutely beautiful. The emoji thing that they're doing, that's a bit weird. But it's a gorgeous phone. And I thought, oh, and it was at that point that I thought, oh, I really go to Android.
You see,
this hardware.
You think about that then. So Samsung have kept with that. They're going with the Galaxy S8, aren't they? Was it the 7 that blew up?
The Note 7.
Was it just the Note? Right. But they are sticking with those names.
Yes.
So they went through a load of hardship and they're still getting sales and they're sticking with it. Perhaps, Google has turned
the same. But they were the leader too, right?
Phone off. So, it won't affect us. It won't happen. You know, won't hurt us. Perhaps that's their mindset. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think they're going to lose because I don't think people will buy when they buy a Pixel phone. They're buying a Google phone, an Android phone. When they buy a Samsung phone, they're not buying an Android phone. They're buying
the Pixel was. The Pixel 2 was on sale at Verizon, so you could buy it in, you know, some of the major stores. But you know, the biggest appeal for those phones were the fact that it was stock Android. So the question does become: is Google done making phones? Because the Pixel 3 hasn't been officially announced yet, and
I don't think they are.
And the last, what the Pixel 2 was the second version of the HTC contract, so there is no contract for the Pixel 3.
No.
Right, so they, you know, that's what we're all pretty much wondering at this point: are they done making phones?
No,
I don't think they are, but I think they shot themselves in the foot because I don't know what the in the States what the advertising was, but if you watch the Google Pixel 2 adverts in the UK, they were all direct digs at iPhone. Every single thing they said was a direct dig at iPhone, and Apple could actually come back now and go, well, we support your phone for 5 years. Yeah. And that's a bigger thing than all the things that they were saying.
Yeah, so what you're saying is this lack of legacy support going to harm future sales? And it could.
I think, that's what I'm asking. I think it does.
Yeah. Good story, mate. Good story. Who's not had a story yet? I've lost track.
Me!
Go on, then.
William Green.
William.
Well, people keep calling me an Apple lover. Which I am. And Mullabaika, this is at you. My story is... Now, I haven't had a Windows computer probably in 20 years. But my story is Windows 10. And...
Go on.
I thought it was... It was quite cool because it sort of connects the Facebook thing about, you know, how your personal data is being collected. And Microsoft have released a product that, for free, that comes with Windows 10, and it gives you pretty much all the information you need about how much information they're keeping and storing when you use a sort of a Windows device.
So how much are they storing and keeping then?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got a Windows.
It's not out yet. That's only for Windows Insiders.
What is your story, Greedy?
But that's it.
They're releasing Privacy Dashboard. It's not out yet, though, because they're still waiting for the new version of Windows 10 to drop, which hasn't dropped yet because there's a bug in it and they're going to fix it before they release it.
So when it comes out, though, what is the anticipation of what it's going to be?
Yeah, common data, they're going to tell you what... There's a list in that article that Greeny posted, if you read it. Goes a bit further down. There's a little nice little table of what their little bullet pointed things that they'll actually be giving you the data on, things like what's installed, performance data for device health, consumption of movies. They don't catch your listening habits. They're merely interested in see how long you're spending time watching movies, how long it's connecting configuration. To be fair, all this stuff can be turned off, so you can get little applications that will turn off feeding data back to Microsoft if you want. It's becoming more and more insidious over most operating systems. And we saw before, because I think we've discussed this on here before, I think I was on when we were, about things like how the Windows itself now has advertising built into it. All of a sudden your home screen will change over to be an advert for a game that's coming out. And you'll get apps turning up on your start menu that you didn't expect, like good old Candy Crush or whatever turns up on the list because Microsoft want you to have them because they got ad revenue out of it.
Yeah. Most of the thing is Cortana, isn't it? That's clicked.
And Cortana sits and listens to you.
Yeah.
She doesn't know my computer because I've turned her off.
I was going to say, you can turn it off, presumably.
I've got a version of Windows that doesn't have it in.
All right.
Okay. I've got Windows 10, but it's all turned off.
It sounds like a good start that, you know, it, the biggest problem with Facebook, right, is a lot of the information and the ability to turn certain things off, or what they said, it was across 20 pages. So if you have a single dashboard where you can look at this information and be able to you know, turn things on and off and just understand what's being collected. That's just, that's what we want to see. Right. Yeah. And, it's not new to me, because even on Windows Phone with Cortana, you were able to really understand what information Cortana was collecting, what she was using, in order to be your assistant. And you could turn those things on and off specifically as well. It was one of the most positive parts about Cortana, was the ability to control what she knew about you. So that seems to be just an extension of that.
So was this a news story this week about Microsoft releasing this?
Yeah, I think so.
So
25th of January.
Zuckerberg's in Congress about privacy, and Microsoft said, "Do you know what? We're going to show you what we use."
Well,
is it a feature or is it just a...
The story that Greeny's posted is the 25th of Jan.
Oh, it's been coming. Yeah. This has been coming a while, because everybody in the world is complaining that Microsoft keep collecting telemetry data and they're not sharing it. So this has been coming a while.
That's not me running Greeny down. What I'm saying is this has been coming a while, yes.
It's been coming a while for everyone.
In the chat room, they call me a fanboy of Apple. But you have to say... Apple does a great job with the latest update, which is what is it? 10.3.14. Now that is from the top of my mind. But I updated it today, and they've also built sort of privacy features into their latest update. I can give you the exact, what is it? 10.13.4. They've added a load of extra sort of privacy features into the OS. And so I think everybody is very sort of switched on to this. But I have to say, Apple does an amazing and respectable job of keeping user data sort of private.
Excellent. Has he frozen?
Yeah, he has.
That's his O face.
It's his own fault. And I've just found an article that suggests Safari is feeding information using a different privacy medium. I'm just about... I'll chuck it in the chat room if anyone's interested in a bit more greeny baiting.
Who's still got a story to do? Chris, have you put... Is yours the iTunes story?
Yeah, I just posted it.
Right, go on then, mate. So this is when Apple may pull the plug on iTunes for good.
Well, yeah, according to some leaked reports that came out, it seems like it's going to be March 31st, 2019. And it's, I'm not a huge Apple Music user, but the trend that I'm seeing, I don't really like. And because Amazon recently announced that they were going to shutter their upload service. So what with Amazon's music service, you could upload your own songs into Amazon, and then you could then use those and put them in your playlist or whatever. And they said they pretty much stopped allowing those uploads. And so it seems like, and like when you're using the app on an iPhone, for example, and you see a song that you want to buy, you can't buy it through the app. You literally have to open up a web browser and go buy the song. So I kind of see this as a trend that I'm not liking, because if you see that iTunes is trying to force people into their subscription service, and I get it, you know, that recurring payment is much more attractive over the long term over one-time payment. But I'm a guy that likes to make my own playlist. I like to own my songs. I like to, move stuff around between devices. And, I'm just not a fan of the streaming first. I'd rather buy an album first and then, choose which parts of it I want to stream. So I'm just interested to understand what the rest of you folks,
Bob Beach in the chat room.
That's old school.
Bob Beach in the chat room has come straight in with Apple Music is great. And I've got to say, I agree. I love it.
Yeah, we've just moved to Apple Music as a source. And it is really good. The one thing I worry about slightly, that source of your article, for those UK listeners, is I've the sun. And to be fair, I wouldn't trust them to tell me the sun was shining unless I went outside and checked myself.
Yeah.
See, so for me, I prefer a service that's cross-platform.
It's one of the UK's lowest forms of journalism.
Well, I see, the thing is, Chris, you're outside the Apple ecosphere an awful lot more. So once you're inside it and your whole family's inside it, the $14.95 a month is just money that's just logically well spent, because all of my kids get all the music they want. All my wife gets all the music she wants. I'm not a huge music lover. I am a music lover. That's not true. I just don't listen to a lot of it. But there's times I'm in the car and I'm just like, oh, you know, I watched the movie Ray the other day with Jamie What's It In, and I love that film. I think it's brilliant. And I love Ray Charles. I always have. And it was just like, you know, come on, Siri, play me some Ray Charles. And actually, she did it without asking me out what I wanted for cinemas in Gloucester. And there was me rocking on my way back to I Got a Woman by Over Town. So
yeah,
I can't fault it. I do. It fulfills a purpose because I'm in the sphere. Though if I wasn't in the sphere, Apple Music would be a piece of crap.
I don't think it's just,
yeah.
Just
my girls, they're both in their early 20s, and they just love Spotify. They love the playlists. They love the interaction with it. They use it all the time. They much prefer that. They've tried Apple Music and they don't like Apple Music. So
yeah, see, the biggest thing for me is because I have my same Xbox.
It'd still be a problem because they'd say we don't like this. You know,
but so. You still do your own playlist. There's nothing you can't do in Spotify that you can't do in
no
iTunes.
But it is
they've tried it and they just don't like it. They just don't like Apple Music compared to Spotify. Mm. But let's put those two to one side. It's streaming music. Back to what you said before. Yeah, I've got a ton of music. I like owning my own music and creating my own playlist, but they deem that they're making their own playlists as well. And they share all their friends' playlists as well. So it's just a different culture. It's a different timeline, isn't it?
Well, it's streaming versus downloads, isn't it? Apple introduced the download model, which kind of didn't destroy piracy, but it made music more accessible. I've got a 15-year-old daughter, and her and all her friends, she's got Apple Music and they've got Spotify, whatever. But if she's got a gaggle of friends around here, is we want to listen to that song now. It's not like find the CD, download the song. It's there. It's that generation now. They've got Netflix and Now TV and all that sort of stuff, and YouTube. It's everything streamed now, isn't it? And Apple are looking at the future model, the future market that's going to be buying their stuff, and they know they're going to be streaming it. They don't own, I think my daughter probably owns 3 CDs, probably because we bought them for her, but she'd never think about buying a CD ever. You know, it's in the cloud, it's she's got a data plan, she can listen to it on the way to school, on the way home from school, at a friend's house. There's so much more flexibility there.
It's funny, isn't it, because CDs were a higher quality supposedly than LPs. But now it's the LPs that are making a small comeback. They're never going to make the comeback they had before. You know, I'm not saying that, but LPs have made a comeback. CDs die to death.
Yeah.
Mm. I put your radio in my car. It hasn't got a CD player in it.
Yeah.
Ewan's in my old car. I put a Bluetooth receiver in there with the radio. That's enough for me. I can listen to podcasts. I can listen to Spotify and Apple Music and whatever I'm choosing. It's great.
That's what you want.
I had a customer ask me to make a DVD the other week.
Oh God!
I was like, "No, I can't." And then, what do you mean you can't? I could go and buy you some and send them to you. Yeah, no, it's sending me the discs, not the problem. I could go down to Costco and buy some discs. I haven't got a drive.
No.
And they're like, "Well, okay." I said, "Well, actually, I might have a drive somewhere in a cupboard. I might have a super drive. I don't know. I'll have to have a look." And they said, "Well, if you've got a drive, you could." I haven't got any software. What do you mean? I haven't got any software. You're a Mac user, aren't you? And he goes, yeah, I am. I said, well, you could use iDVD. Nothing I've got's got iDVD on it, mate. That was 2008. And he was just like, well, surely there's something that Apple have got where you could burn a DVD. And I'm sitting thinking, I ain't telling him iMovie might still do it. But though I don't know, it might not. I haven't checked. And I got to the point, it was just like, I don't care how much you pay me. I'm not going to make a DVD for you. I just don't care. I'm not interested.
iDVD's on my Mac still.
What?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I've just started it up. Create a new project.
Is it?
Yeah, it's asking me for my...
You've started it up and it's still using Skype version 2.
Yeah.
What? Because there's some files, guys.
iDVD.
And the bandwidth hasn't dropped.
I don't think DVDs have totally had their day. For me, I've got my computer, and I've got my telly with a DVD player. And if I'm a little bit bored, I'll wander down to the charity shop and buy a DVD for 65p and watch it. And so sometimes it's, you know, what's wrong with it? Is there a sort of invert snobbishness about...
No, but I mean, if I...
No, Will. It's still got a place until we die. And then it went.
No, I totally get all these.
You're so right. Our generation's the last one.
In my will, I leave to my children.
I can see Marwood's face at the reading of your will, mate. When he finds out he's got your DVD player.
Not the big box, Dad. The big box.
And
please,
Kitty's got all the discs. Now, I totally get what you're saying about going down the local shop and getting the DVD out from the charity box. Something I haven't got, and I'll just play it, and there we go. But I'd bring it back, and if I've got a drive in my laptop, I'd rip it first, and then I'd just send it over to the Apple TV.
I bought my last disc after Sony screwed HD DVD. That was the last disc I ever bought.
HD DVD, Christ. We're back at Video 2000 and Betamax soon.
Absolutely done. Everything. I ripped all my DVDs.
An article about Are Extras Dead? Because the one thing you get with the DVD when you buy it, that most times you don't get when you sort of download a film from iTunes, is the extras. And the extras are, you know...
you get extras in iTunes?
You do for some, but not for all. And
that's the same on DVDs, though, Will.
That's the same on DVDs. Some of the DVDs, you only get the film.
Yeah, but not all. And so I've done some research into this. So I can't give you figures because I don't know them.
It wasn't very good research then, was it?
So you get the iTunes, what do they call it? iTunes Plus or something? What's it called?
LP, was it?
No, when it comes to films.
The Phonogram. No.
Shut up.
Jacob Rees-Mogg is telling me to shut up. Bob says no.
Yeah, it is called I Choose Extras.
Bob says no, the extras are generally boring. Some aren't. They're really good.
I don't know. Some of the extras are nice. I still buy the odd DVD and the odd Blu-ray.
Hang on.
It's nice to have
Ian says it's nice to have a box set. And Swamp Rat
says... Is that a euphemism for something I don't know?
What Swamp Rat says, I ordered two DVD sets a few weeks ago. Physical media is good for stuff like that. Why don't you buy Blu-ray, man? It's just as cheap.
Oh,
and it's 480p for DVD. It's shit quality.
There's only one good use for DVDs nowadays, you know, don't you?
Does anyone know what?
Only one good use for DVDs nowadays.
Coasters.
No, on a bit of string out in the garden, keeps the birds off your peas.
No, hold on. I'm gonna DVDs. So take iTunes with Down I, which is my favourite film, and then take with Down I on DVD. From iTunes, you just get the film and that's it. No audio commentary, no nothing. Just get the film. But if you get the DVD, I think it's a two DVD set, you get the film with audio commentary, you get a second disc that it invites you into the making of it, and none of that comes from iTunes. And that's just one small example of how iTunes just gives you the film. Whereas if you buy the DVDs, you get a lot more.
Swamp Rat's telling me off because he said they were Johnny Carson and The Tonight Show, and they were shot in standard def on video recorders.
Yeah, yeah. Video 4x3.
4x3. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And American NTSC as well at that.
never the same colour twice.
Never the same colour twice.
Right, well, I haven't put a story in yet, so should we go heads or tails? Because I haven't had an answer from the chat.
Heads.
So heads or tails? Heads. Heads. Oh, bugger. All right, heads. Oh, crikey.
Is that about, okay, well, don't have it go. Then. If you...
this will cause some chat, I think.
Oh, bugger. Baby, go on, tell us.
Right, a Chinese baby has been born 4 years, get it, 4 years after that baby's parents' death. Okay, oh. So this is technology going mad, guys, you know, especially with the Google IO now being able to teach itself how to walk. Put that in combination with this. So the grandparents had a legal battle to actually have the embryos, which had been frozen before the parents were killed in an unfortunate car accident. But they had to go through loads of legal ramifications about where the stuff was going to be kept and whether the hospital they could move it to could actually hold it. And then they had to have the correct transport. But they went through all of that, those legal ramifications. And this child has been born. So this child, 4 years after parents have died, the grandparents apparently had to have, each of them had to have a blood test and DNA test so that they could confirm that they were actually related and the grandparents of this particular child.
Wait a minute. Wow. They waited to after the child was born to do the confirmation?
Yeah.
Well, because he wouldn't have any DNA.
I think so.
They wouldn't have DNA that could sample until it was born.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like if you get paternity tests, you have to wait till the baby's born before you can do a DNA paternity test. So
I would think that they, you know,
ask Eddie Murphy.
That if that was going to be the hang up, then they just wouldn't have done it, because now you have a child that's born. You can't just be like, well, no one's the parent, so we'll just throw them away. You know, it just, I don't know. That just seems kind of odd to me.
Well, okay, they wouldn't have started the process unless they were fairly sure that they were the grandparents to start with, I would have suggested, maybe, but
yeah, so don't do it. Don't worry. I mean,
I
know this is the smallest part of it, but it's the one that caught my eyes. Like, what are you going to do if they're not the parents? You know what I mean?
I think
what they would have had to, I think that was about the nationality of the child. I think that was the problem there. So they, because obviously they didn't have the direct parents there. So they had to prove that this embryo was in fact a relationship of related to these grandparents, these four grandparents, so they could then say the nationality of this particular child, because it got no nationality. I think it was possibly they did it possibly another I'm not sure if there's another country.
Yeah, go to Laos.
Yes.
So what happens to baby Jerome?
Now to go further up, now to go where surrogacy is legal in China, it says here.
That's right. So I think it's now traveling on a visa. I mean, hell, who's going to explain that? This is technology gone. Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it's too crazy or not.
So there's a lot of facets to this, surely. I mean, this is number one. You're looking at the grandparents. They've lost their children, and there is a potential to have their grandchildren, which they've been denied. So you kind of see their thought process, and there's a nice part to that.
You do.
The one thing that got me was just the last two paragraphs of this story just kind of left as an aside almost. The grandparents have not decided how to tell Tian Tian about his background. Tian's paternal grandfather told the Beijing News that until Tian Tian is older, they'll tell him his parents are overseas. This boy is destined to be sad on his arrival into the world. Other babies have their fathers and mothers. He does not. He will definitely tell them in the future. How can we not? And I just think, well, why start, if the kid's going to come into this world sad to start with, why start it with a lie? Start it with the truth, because the kid has got no reference point to understand what that truth is then. Whereas once he gets to the stage of mom and dad are overseas, here's some pictures of them, he's got expectation, and then you're going to crush it. And it's just, that's the wrong way to go about it. Tell him from the start. You're a 100%. Miracle because, and we love you because you're this miracle that we managed to have when we lost our children. We managed to have our grandchildren.
I agree with you 100%. But at the same time, I leave reservation for folks that, you know, because not everybody can handle things the way, you know, we would handle it. And
they have to tell the
child is to relive, you know, that tragedy anyway. So, but I agree with you. I would say, you know, no, we're not mommy and daddy, we're grandpa and grandma. And, you know, and as he gets older, then he understands, yeah, they died and they're wherever.
It depends on the age of those grandparents as well. I mean, technically, I'm old enough to be Ellis's grandfather. I'm certainly old enough to be Bryony's grandfather, my two children.
I am a grandfather.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is if these two grandparents are 50s or 40s even, there's no problem in them having a child and raising it as...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because they'll be there for a significant part of his life. It will be self-sufficient by the time they cross the river. So there is not much to lose there. But if these two people are 70 years old and they brought this baby into the life, shame
that's,
on you.
Yeah, that's
shame
a bit
on
much.
You. Because this kid will have no one then after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if TN10 came out looking like Jerome, that would have been a better story altogether. What up?
On that note, this podcast and all the others are brought to you by UK2. We couldn't do the show without them. Yes, all pedants, thank you for writing in and telling me that the Mac logo is up there. We will be renewing our services with them soon, I hope, for next year. And they have supported us now for nearly 10 years. They've got another year to go. And then we'll have been around with UK2 for 10 years. Please support them because they support us. BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors to get the offer codes. BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account and give us the kudos for being a returning customer. I will be with Hoya this weekend. On Sunday, I'm shooting their one of their launches at the local hotel here in Birmingham. And the Uniku specs are rolling out thick and fast. And the software update is coming, apparently, this month, and I'll be able to get my face remeasured, so I might have me Uniku's by the end of the month. Bit of luck. Can't wait. Time for the cool thing. Start us off. Yeah.
Actually, let me go first because I really got to jump out of here and go get my
baby
girl.
Worries, man. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
We've taken too long.
My pick this week, this time, and I'm pretty sure I haven't picked this before, is the August Lock. Have I picked that here before?
No, I don't think so. Go ahead.
Okay, so the August Lock is an awesome smart lock that you can use to replace the the lock you use on your deadbolt. The cool thing about it is that it doesn't have to replace the entire lock. You just use it for the back to replace the back end of it. So you still use the same key. You just take off the back end of it, put the August Lock on the back end and screw it in. It has adapters so they can adapt to the lock that you're using, and pretty good amount of locks. And then it allows you to use your smartphone to unlock the door. Now, the cool thing about it as well is the fact that it does have location services. So as I'm pulling up to the house, it'll automatically unlock the door. You can set it to lock the door when you leave. You get alerts. You can set up guest users who you can just forward the app to, and then they can unlock. It also has additional keypads you can purchase so that you can use a key code to lock and unlock the door. It's one of the best things I've ever bought. I'm so happy with it. I bought one for my mom for Christmas. So When I go down to visit her, I can, you know, I don't have to have a key anymore. I can just use my phone to unlock the door and lock the door. And it was funny. I was helping her change the batteries over the phone, and she started laughing. She's like, "What, can you lock the door while you're there?" And I locked it, and she just started laughing. So it's an awesome smart lock. It's called the August Smart Lock, and they have different versions. And you can go to their website to see if the lock that you're currently using on your door is compatible. If not, just go drop $20 and get a different lock. But it's a really, really cool lock.
So this is interesting. There's a quote here. On a recent trip, we left our beloved dog at home. Unfortunately, we forgot to give the key to the dog walker. So from the plane, I was able to unlock the door and let the walker in and knew that it was safe. That's kind of cool.
Yep. Same thing. So Price, my cleaning lady was coming when I left, and I was unlocked the door for her.
So Price then, dude.
So the third generation, it's only $200. No big deal.
Yeah, so $279 for Smart Lock Pro and Connect. Smart Lock.
Yeah,
Pro,
but that includes the extra device that allows it to you to connect to it remotely. So there's, you know, just the lock itself, I think, is only like $100, if I'm not mistaken. And that allows you to just, you know, when you get close to the lock, you connect to it via Bluetooth. But with the additional connect piece, you plug it in close to the lock, and then that allows you to use Wi-Fi or Bluetooth to unlock it.
So, obvious question. Then you get home and your battery phone's dead. Battery on your phone's dead. You get in.
Oh, you can still use the key.
All right. Okay. So there's still a key. Back it up.
Yep. Yep. It just replaces the backside of the lock, not the front.
That's even cooler. All right. It's not bad at all. I like this.
Yeah, this thing is really cool. Anyway, guys, I got to run. Thanks, my baby girl's waiting for me.
Good to see you.
Love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bye, mate. Take care.
Cheers, Chris.
Bye.
And Gaz is thanking his lucky stars because he'd forgotten about him to do the cool thing. So we'll come to you last, Gaz.
Okay, I've just put one in, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. Go for it then. What's your cool thing, Gaz?
Unfortunately, I am an Apple user. I do have an iPhone, but I think this app actually is available on other devices as well, and other operating systems. Yes, we went to a resort where we had our honeymoon, and that happened to be in Austria, where we also went skiing. And this, I was looking for something to basically track my wares on the slopes when we went on, and I'll just in a minute, once you've shown that, I'll show you one of the app in action. But basically, this tracks you. It's just a tracker. It's just another tracking. One of the things I was a little bit concerned about was how much battery life this would take, and it took hardly any at all. It was great. I mean, it has to take some, but most GPS, you know, you put your GPS on and it's going to just swallow it. Now, I did have to occasionally top my battery up, because guess what? Up on the ski slopes, it's cold, and that doesn't help batteries either. But it was a cracking little app, and I'll just show you. Don't know if you can see that.
Just tilt it back a bit.
That's I don't know if is that coming through okay, that's but fine, basically yeah. It's tracking what we did on that particular day, and it gives you all sorts of information on it. Now, what's also good about this, I wasn't going that fast, by the way, although one of them, it was a bit odd because it gave me a mileage of I think it was 89 miles an hour. I definitely wasn't going that fast. Jesus. That overlay, though, what it also does is do a 3D overlay, which is absolutely cracking. So it's free to buy, but there's some extra things like storing some of the data, and it costs, I think, £4.99, and then I've got the stuff basically forever. And then I basically recorded each day and put it, I linked up my iPhone to my Mac, and in QuickTime, you can just pick your iPhone as a device, and then you can record that screen through QuickTime. Linked it all up, speeded it up, so I've got a quick video, which I can then throw into to photos, and then I've got all of the photos that we took whilst we were away. I had that in. Little video, and I've also got a video of me crashing, which I can't show you, unfortunately, because I did. Don't know if you can tell. Actually, I've got a scar on the top of my nose. That's a goggle scar. I suppose I should call it a Google scar, really, but it's a goggle scar. Yeah, great. And I found it a great little app, just giving all sorts of details, heights of runs, time on a run, highest point, longest run. Excellent.
Your nose tells us the lowest point.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Good pick. Great app. Like that. Ian, what have you got for us?
I've got one called OO Shut Up 10. Sort of linking on from some of the stories earlier. If you want to stop Google stealing Windows stealing information, it's a brilliant little app. It's just a portable one, simple little XE, run that. It takes a system recovery point before you start. You can check alert. It gives you a set of recommendations of things to turn off, and it will turn off all the sort of major leaks that come from the OS. Save it, and away you go. Your Windows 10 PC will leak less information off to Microsoft if that's what you need. Brilliant. Good little app for privacy.
Excellent. You said free.
Free, completely free. It's from a good software vendor anyway. OO do a load of recovery and data management software. They're quite good.
Cool. Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Greeny boy.
Well, I know this is sort of very old school, but when I was a little boy, I used to go down to Swanage, it's sort of right by the sea. It's in Dorset and stuff. And the game I used to really, really love playing was Star Wars. But there was other games too. Do you remember it? The one where you actually got into the...
Oh, yeah, cockpit. The cabinet one.
Right.
You know, it was just so good. We're going in type of thing. So you can download... I put it in the chat room. So MAME OS 10, which is on SourceForge. And but there's like a million other games as well. Oh, what was the one where you were on this like big dragon? What was that one?
Caterpillar? You shot the caterpillar, though.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, the Star Wars was the big one. And to be able to play it on your Mac or your Windows PC as well, it's just incredible. You just need a joystick. Make sure you've got a joystick to really enjoy it. So there it is. MAME, whether it's OS 10 or for Windows version. That's it.
Cool, mate. Good stuff. Nice one. Righty, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, when I got my it's sort of in my face there. When I got my 5K iMac a couple of years ago, I was foolish enough to get it with a mechanical hard drive. And when I first got it, it was screaming and it was great and all that sort of stuff. But it's been slowing down over the last couple of years. So I thought I'd utilize the old Thunderbolt port. I got this, which is the Buffalo Mini Station, 128 gig SSD. Plug that in, installed OS, Mac OS High Sierra to it. And that baby screams now. And it's amazing what Thunderbolt can do for a Mac. In fact, you have all this external storage you can boot off it and everything. You know, I was having the thing where I'd load up Photoshop and it'd take like a minute to load and all this sort of thing. But it's 140 quid, which is quite a lot of money. But for the performance I'm going to get, it'll probably give me another good couple of 2 or 3 years out of it. And now they've announced the external EPG stuff as well for the graphics cards. Is you can take like an old iMac, stick a SSD via Thunderbolt and put one of these graphics cards in and you know, make your Mac go a lot further. So I was really pleased with it. It's amazing what, you know, because I wasn't willing to pull the glass off and stick an SSD inside the Mac itself, but no. You know, the fact you can just plug a drive in the back and it works like an internal drive is brilliant.
I took my drive. I used to be in joint venture, the business thing where you got a replacement Mac if you had yours crap out, and I got my drive out of the machine that I had. The guy, the genius, was very kind and took it out, and then I just shoved that in an external caddy and booted from that for the rest of the 2 weeks while mine was being fixed.
So. Just worked, yeah. And I can port it between different Macs and just boot off that. I've got, it's almost like a Mac on a disc, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And the things, it used to be a bit shoddy. I used to have a 1 terabyte spinning drive that I used to boot from, and that used to be a real glitch. It was sometimes it was horrid. But now if you do it from an SSD, it is like carrying your Mac around with you. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Superb.
Well worth it.
Good one. Thanks ever so much, fellas. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Gaz?
You can get me on the Twitters, twitter.com/Gazmaz, G-A-Z-M-A-Z. I'm also a co-host over at the MyMac podcast. Myself and Guy Searle do a weekly podcast, though this weekend we're not going to be able to do one, but we're over 700 shows for that particular, or 700 episodes for that particular show. Not all of them done by Guy and myself, and basically we take an irrelevant look at World of Apple, and I do mean irrelevant. It's just a bit of fun, really.
Cool. Best way to do it. That's all we do. Where are you, Mr. Grant?
Me? Yeah. I'm same place usual. Slack room, mostly. Twitter less so these days. Mostly I'm lurking around the Slack room. Otherwise, I'm out there, TIOA, BOA, turn it off and back on again. If you have Convo, I'll probably be around training you how to use it at some point, because that seems to be all I do these days. That's me.
Excellent, mate. Grinny, where are you?
BritishMac.com.
Excellent, mate. And soon to be in the climes of Switzerland.
Yes, it will. How exciting is that when it becomes a British Mac from Switzerland?
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Like melting glaciers all about.
I know. Well, I hope so. Yeah, I don't quite know what that means, but the other place you can get me is Twitter, which is British Mac.
Excellent, mate. Righty boy, where are you?
Forums on the Twitters, mate, in the Slack room, doing the reviews on BTN. And for the last week, getting our Instagram food back up, the British Tech Network Instagram feed. Some new and interesting original stuff going up there.
Excellent, mate. Good stuff. You can get Chris Ashley everywhere at Big Chris Ashley, and the SMR podcast as well as. I've got that right, isn't it? Yeah, SMR. Yeah. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Tomorrow we've got Mr. Anatko on the Mac Show. He'll be back with all the usual guests. And we'll be having some fun. And two shows will come out this weekend. Back to normal. With all the technical difficulties before we started. Back to normal. See you all next week. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.